Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church on this beautiful Sunday morning where we get to worship our God again. Today is the day of Pentecost. Big, huge day in the history of the church that we celebrate the Holy Spirit being poured out onto his people so that we can be empowered to share the gospel. And today we'll especially take a look at how the Word of God plays a huge part in that. So you'll see that reflected throughout the service today. We'll also be celebrating the Lord's Supper today. So if you are a member here or a member of a church within our fellowship, prepare your minds and hearts to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit's working through that too. If you're a visitor with us, we direct your attention to the paragraph in the inside part of the cover. And if you have any questions about how you can commune with us in the future, we'd love to talk to you about that. So see one of us after the service. Without further ado, let us begin our worship on this day of Pentecost with hymn 532. We'll sing note stanzas 1 and 2. God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Heavenly Father has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us pray to the Lord with freedom and confidence. Holy Spirit, God and Lord, come to us this joyful day with your sevenfold gift of grace. Rekindle in our hearts the holy fire of your love, that in a true and living faith we may tell abroad the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Father, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The first lesson this morning, as we take a look on this Pentecost Sunday of the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they might live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." The word of the Lord. We'll now hear a song by the choir.
Thank you.
The second lesson for this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, where we see what happens on the day of Pentecost and what happens when we preach in the name of Jesus. From Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The word of the Lord. The choir will sing the verse of the day. Stand in honor of the words of Jesus. Gospel lesson comes from John chapter 14 this morning, where we see Jesus promise us that the Holy Spirit will remind the disciples of something very special. From John 14, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord. We now confess our faith in the Holy Spirit and the power that He brings through the Word according to the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, Come, Holy Ghost, God and Lord. Grace and power are yours from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the first lesson, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your spirit. Amen. It's a dry heat. You ever heard that? You ever used that in the last week? It even rained this last week, but you still hear that a lot, don't you? When Heather and I were living in Arizona, we heard that a lot. It'd be like 115 degrees outside, and everyone would be like, oh, it's a dry heat. Well, yeah, it's the desert. Deserts are hot and dry. That's why living things don't do so well in the desert, do they? It even becomes a verb, right? Deserted. Living things want to get out of there. Things are so dry in deserts and so hot that the driest, hottest place in all of North America is called Death Valley. You and I can feel dry sometimes. When do you feel dry? When things are dry, it's hard for life to be there, and it's hard for that life to thrive. So when do you feel all dried out? Do you feel like this life is monotonous? You do the same things every day, and feel like it's hard to be fulfilled in it, like there's no meaning there. Are all your relationships, do they feel dried out? For example, does your digital self on social media have better relationships than your actual self? Does your marriage feel all dry and lifeless? Do you feel spiritually dry? You and I can battle our sins and fight them, and yet we lose battle after battle after battle, and it just saps our strength and our life. You can feel it in your bones sometimes. Sometimes you become so disconnected from God, and you feel so disconnected from others and from meaning in life that you just feel like you're cut off, abandoned, deserted, lifeless. That's why we're going to take a trip with the prophet Ezekiel. God's going to show us and take us to a place that you could call a death valley of sorts. And as we do, I want you to imagine yourself right there with Ezekiel. You're seeing everything he's seen, you're hearing everything he's hearing. Because when you do, you're going to see that God has sort of switched gears with the prophet Ezekiel a little bit. Ezekiel had this interesting ministry where he had to prophesy before the fall of Jerusalem to an apathetic people, a people disinterested in God. They needed to hear that God's judgment was coming, and well, they didn't listen. And so God's judgment came in the fall of Jerusalem. From that moment, everything switched for Ezekiel. Now he's prophesying to a spiritual. They felt broken. They felt abandoned and felt like in judgment God had cut them off. They obviously didn't know God all that well, and they didn't realize who they were to him. So God speaks to them through his mouthpiece, Ezekiel, by way of a vision. Ezekiel says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were very dry." It's kind of a scary and depressing picture, if you think about it. Imagine yourself standing in a valley full of bones. But that wasn't the most depressing part. The most depressing part is as Ezekiel looked at all of these bones, he could see and he emphasized that they were all very dry. So far removed from life that they were bone dry. Which makes the next thing that God says all the more ridiculous. Ezekiel says, "The Lord asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' What more can Ezekiel say than, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Can these bones live?" The easy answer? No. dry bones are just dried, dead bones. You know, a lot of people these days like zombie movies, and they like undead movies and shows and all that, but we all know they're just shows, right? Dead is dead. Dry bones are just dried, dead bones. The greatest doctors in all the world, with the greatest equipment in all the world and all the funding in all the world, can't make dry, dead bones live. Which makes the next thing God says even more ridiculous. Ezekiel says, "Then the Lord said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Remember, these are dried dead bones. They don't have ears. "This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." If you're Ezekiel, and God told you to prophesy those words to these dry dead bones, would you do it? Would you do it? If you wouldn't, I don't blame you. The concept is ridiculous. But if you would do it, and I saw some heads nodding, why? If you would prophesy the word of the sovereign Lord to dry dead bones, if he told you to, why would you do it? And hold on to that reason in the back of your mind. Does Ezekiel do it? You bet he does. "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound." Imagine the whole valley now full of bones starts shaking and rattling. "And now the bones came together, bone to bone." So now you don't have just a bunch of random scattered bones. You've got a whole bunch of skeletons lying on the valley floor. "I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them." What would that be like? You can think the CGI in the movies, right? You can kind of picture it in your mind. You got bone or tendons coming up and connecting bones and flesh coming in and skin coming on them and filling it all in and covering it all up. If you had this sort of thing in a dream at night, you'd wake up and say, "That was a crazy dream." And you tell people about it, right? There are all these tendons and there's this flesh and these skin covering. And yet, even though it had all of those things, there was still no life because there was something very important still missing. Ezekiel points out, "But there was no breath in them." They still had no life because they had no breath. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." Why make a big deal about the breath? It's like there's this big pause. Like, all right. Tendons and flesh and skin. Wait for it. And now the breath. Well, maybe you notice that some of this language is pretty similar to Genesis chapter 2, where you can see God breathing life into Adam, make him a living being. But it wasn't just physical life that God gave him. There was a far more important kind of life that God breathed into Adam. And that's what's being emphasized here, all with one word. The same word in Hebrew can mean breath, wind, and spirit. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will put breath in you, then you will know that I am the Lord. Prophesy to the breath. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe. Breath entered them. They came to life. There's a poetic play on words going on here. And it's all stacking up to point out where true life comes from and who gives it. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. They would be resettled in their own land, and the people of Israel would become a living, breathing nation again. But it was the living, breathing, spiritual nation that God was going to create. Because where breath, wind, and spirit are, there is life. A dry, seemingly lifeless people come to life when God puts his breath, wind, spirit in them. Are you starting to see the picture that God is trying to give to people who feel dry and cut off? You are now the spiritual Israel. And yet you and I, we can still feel like we're spiritually dry and cut off and lifeless. And because of it, we think it's ridiculous that God could possibly ever bring anything back to life. Yet when we do that, how often do we forget who our God is, who we are to him, and what he gives? He is the sovereign Lord. That means that he is the gracious God who has reign over everything and power over everything. And he hasn't cut you off in the least. You are his people, the spiritual Israel. And how has he made you his people? How has he brought you life? He has breathed into you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills you up. And where there's breath, wind, spirit, there's life. You may feel dry, but you're not dry. Because the Holy Spirit is like a bubbling brook inside of you, coursing through you. And where there's breath, wind, spirit, there's life. And how has he filled you up? How has he poured that spirit into you? It's the same way that he did it in this vision. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God sure likes to emphasize the power of his word. Because it's through the word that the Holy Spirit fills you up. Makes you from dry to spirit-filled. And you know that. You know that because I saw a bunch of your heads going like this earlier. When I asked you, would you prophesy the word of the Lord to dry bones? And you said, yes. Why? Because you know the power of the sovereign Lord. And you know the power of his word and of his spirit. Look at us. We were spiritually dead, every single one of us. And look at what the power of the word has done to lifeless things. Not just in this life, but eternally. You know, sometimes we can forget who God is. We see death and we are scared by it. We get dried out just thinking about it. We think that nothing can stop it. It's ridiculous that new life could even possibly come. And yet death has no power over the sovereign Lord. Jesus proves that. Lifeless, his body lay there in the tomb. Dry as can be, he hung there as our sins sapped the very life out of him. And yet even with all of that, death had no power over him. God raised him back to life. That proves that death is no match for God, no matter what kind of death. And that means wherever you feel dry and lifeless in your life, it can be brought to health and life again because the power of God and his Spirit and his Word. Your relationships, your friendships, your marriages, whatever, they can be revived. They can be revived because the Spirit of the Lord is working through the forgiveness and love of Christ in those relationships. And where there is that forgiveness and love, there's nothing that could match that life-giving power. When you think that you have no meaning in your life, Look at it from God's angle. To God, you are one of his people. That's what you mean to him. And that means that you don't ever have to worry about being cut off from God, because he has filled you up with his Spirit. And the promise that comes with the Spirit is the same that Jesus gave to his disciples in the gospel lesson. That was proved in the second lesson on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit reminds you of Jesus' words. It's ridiculous how life-giving and life-saving that power is. And the most ridiculous part of it all, have you thought about this? The utter ridiculousness of through whom all of this happens? For Israel's sake, God breathed life into his people through his mouthpiece, Ezekiel. He keeps calling Ezekiel, son of man, son of man, son of man, son of man, to humble him, to show you, you have to be humble before me, the sovereign Lord. And yet he still graciously gives Ezekiel a role in breathing life into his nation. Ezekiel was his prophesier, his breath bringer. Now God's prophesier and breath bringer is you, son of man, daughter of man. Now you are not just filled with the Holy Spirit, but it overflows into others. You help the Holy Spirit breathe life into others. It isn't your life that you're giving. It isn't your power. It isn't your word. And yet the Holy Spirit still graciously gives us a role in doing that. You don't see the tendons spiritually. You don't see the flesh or the skin covering it up as the power of that word is working. You don't hear the rattling, but you know it's working. Because you know the power of God, the power of his Spirit, and the power of his word. Today we get to witness that power. Not just as we celebrate the day of Pentecost, but this is a great day for St. Mark's. Because we'll get to see in the second service this morning the Holy Spirit wash clean through the not dry waters of baptism five souls into his kingdom. We also get to watch as those five souls are joined by other brothers and sisters as they join and publicly confess their faith in Jesus and the life that he gives to become part of our church family. It's all a testament and evidence that the Holy Spirit is still doing this. 2,600 years later after this vision, 2,000 years after that second lesson, the day of Pentecost, he's still working, and by God's grace, he works through us. See, your life is not without meaning. Bone dry? No, not when the Spirit is filling you up. Cut off? Never. Not when the sovereign Lord says that you're not. Lifeless and without hope? No, Jesus died and rose again, and we have that hope too. And that's what the Spirit reminds us of. So brothers and sisters, you are not bone dry. You are Spirit-filled. Amen. Please stand. May that Holy Spirit fill you up now in this life and bring life to everything that you need. Amen. We'll now pray to the Spirit by the way of a song called Create in Me in your bulletins. Please be seated for the offering. Mm-hmm. This morning, as part of the prayer of the church, we'll pray for all of those with health challenges, including David Haugen, Stan Kuhlman, Leon Raglan, Ed and Bev Heinitz, Margaret, Steve Ennis's mother, Andrea Luck-Lean, and Kyler Ross. We'll also include a prayer for all of those celebrating anniversaries and birthdays. We'll pray for the family of Norm Lehrvold, John Lehrvold's father, as well as the family of Russ Smith, Keith Smith's brother. They were taken home to heaven this last week. We'll also include a special prayer of protection for our neighborhoods around here, Citrus Heights, Roseville, Orangeville, everywhere. We join together in one mind and one heart in the prayer of the church, and then join together in the Lord's Prayer after that. We pray. Holy Spirit, fill us up. Remind us of Jesus' words and give us the power to share those words with others. Sovereign Lord, be the refuge for all who are suffering from health challenges this week. Give them all the hope given in your Son, Jesus, which proves how much you care for every one of us. Holy Spirit, be present in the lives of those celebrating birthdays this week. Guide them to trust even more in your promises of forgiveness, grace, and eternal life, which bring immense meaning to each new day. Lord, we thank you for the years of love you have given to those celebrating wedding anniversaries. Help them reflect the unity you have with your church as they cherish the unity they have in their marriages. Comfort all who remember loved ones this week. Give them the solid assurance of eternal life and the life we'll have in your presence forever. Bless them with good days and shine your love even brighter on difficult days. Please also protect our neighborhoods with your almighty power. Help us live in peace and safety so that we can enjoy your blessings to the fullest and share those blessings all the more with those who live around us. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who also taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so to you.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day kept his promise and poured out the Holy Spirit to empower his church to proclaim the gospel in the world. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, May the Peace of God, number 745 in the Blue Songbooks. Awesome worshiping with you this morning. Big welcome to all of our visitors. If you're a visitor with us, make sure to check out the Welcome Center back there. And not only is there a gift for you, but anything on that table is yours to take. So check that out. In between services here, we're going to have a special presentation on the Not Without Purpose congregational debt efforts. So please stick around here in the sanctuary for that. Bible information class will start up again. We're going to do it at 9:30 a.m., so during Bible study hour throughout the summer, so beginning June 3rd. So there's a sign-up in the back by the rack of sign-ups back there, so put your name down if you're interested in Bible information class on Sunday mornings. Also, we've got Mornings with Mommy sign-up, and that's going to start up soon. That's going to start up June 5th. If you're interested in that or know somebody who's interested, make sure to do that quickly because everything will be soon waitlisted. It's starting to fill up. So get on that. You can go to the St. Mark's website to sign up. Registration is also open for sports camps. So check out the school website for that. Lots of stuff going on at this congregation. God is good. St. Mark's merchandise is there for a purchase in the library if you check that out across the way. So go show your St. Mark's pride wherever you can. This last week, we extended a call for a kindergarten teacher to Rachel Tassas from St. Matthew in Spokane, Washington, and she has responded to receiving the call with this letter. Dear members of St. Mark's Lutheran Church, the Holy Spirit has led your congregation to call me to be kindergarten teacher at St. Mark's. I am truly humbled to have received the call. I now have an opportunity to evaluate where I can best serve God and His people. So please continue to pray as I deliberate this call and reflect on the gifts and talents God has given me. In his service, Rachel Tasas. So keep her in your prayers as she deliberates whether to take the call or not to be our kindergarten teacher. Also, as I mentioned, in the second service, we're going to be receiving some new members, a number of them. And so it's come back after the second service for some good cake, but also to meet and greet all of the new members and welcome them to our church family. One thing from Tom coming up. Yep. Not for the presentation effort, right? Of the not without purpose effort. So if you're unable to come, check out the folders in the back there. May God bless you this week and fill you with his Spirit. Please stick around to greet one another.